The Houston Rockets with their best win of the season, 128-122 against the Atlanta Hawks. Jabari Smith Jr. and Jalen Green responding in a big way to the disrespect by DeJounte Murray and Trae Young in the third quarter of this game. Gary Bird flies again. KJ Martin making a huge impact in the starting lineup. It's time for him to be a permanent addition to the Houston Rockets starting lineup. Bruno Fernando makes his return to the Rockets rotation. All of that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, a credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as Rockets Watch. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube, where you can help the show out tremendously by commenting anything below. But for today's episode, was this the best win of the season for the Houston Rockets? If you agree, I think it was. If you think it was the best win, tell me why you thought it was the best win. So many great answers as to why this could have been the best win for the Rockets. Could have been Jabari and Jalen responding to the disrespect in the third quarter. Could have been Gary Bird soaring through the skies again. Could have been KJ Martin with a career-high 15 rebounds in this game. So many great things to unpack from this one. Now, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has covered the season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And where we're going to start for today's episode is that third quarter kind of dust up between Jabari Smith Jr. and DeJounte Murray. I mean, look, this game, you know, Rockets came out of the gate pretty strong, right? 38-33 first quarter. And then the energy started to wane for the Rockets. Going into halftime, Steven Silas talked about it, that, you know, he responded at halftime talking to the guys and said he just didn't like the energy that they were playing with, right? And they trailed at halftime. After leading after one quarter, they trailed a little bit going into half. The energy still wasn't quite right in that third quarter. But then about halfway through the third quarter, now the incident between Jabari Smith Jr. and DeJounte Murray took place a few possessions prior. But DeJounte Murray, who somehow turned into like prime Steph Curry in this game, went 8 of 13 from 3 on the way to 39 points. The Hawks backcourt, 44 for Trae Young, which is ridiculous. 39 for DeJounte Murray, also ridiculous. DeJounte Murray hadn't hit more than one three-pointer in a game since November 7th, right? So, like, the shots that DeJounte was getting from three, you kind of live with, but then at some point, once he's hit like his fourth or his fifth three, you got to start to zone in on him and be like, all right, he's in the zone tonight. So he shoots a three, and Jabari Smith Jr. was checking him on the possession, he shoots it. As Jabari Smith Jr. turns to see if the shot's going in, DeJounte Murray pats Jabari on the back of the head, like utmost disrespect from DeJounte Murray. And a few possessions later, Jabari takes exception to it, right? So he goes and he confronts DeJounte. He's like, no, that's not cool, right? And they go back and forth, right? Jalen Green comes to back him up. Trae Young gets into the scuffle. Teams have to be separated. Like, it looks like this thing was going to escalate into a fight. It didn't. And basically, you get double technicals both ways, Jabari and DeJounte, and then Jalen and Trae. And from that point on, that was like the fire under the Rockets. They responded in a big, big way from that very moment. And Jabari and Jalen both actually spoke about what that moment was and kind of what kind of came out of that moment at the end of the game. So let's hear from Jabari first, and then we'll throw it to Jalen.
Yeah, it was a little disrespect going on their side. So just wanted to check them on it and just, you know, get some straightening. But, you know, we bounced back and responded with a win. So that's how you do it.
Check them on it and do some straightening. Oh my God, I love that. I love that mentality. I love that quote from Jabari. Let's hear what Jalen had to say about it.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're not going to go for another type of disrespect. we all dogs on our team, and we're here to compete at the end of the day. I know our record say a lot, but at the end of the day, we have a lot of character over here and pride, so we're going to come out and battle. Like I said, we're not going to take no disrespect ever, no matter who it is. And we always going to have each other's back. We're brothers. We need each other at the end of the day. We're going to rock with each other at the end of the day.
I love those responses, and there's so much, like... First off, just the way that the Rockets played from the moment that that happened to the end of the game. I mean, you can look at the game as a collective and be really impressed, but they really turned it on from that moment to the end of the game. And I do think that, like, Jalen had a huge, huge fourth quarter. Jabari had a big fourth quarter. Like you know, Jalen poured in, what was it, fourth quarter, Jalen. 9 points in the fourth quarter before he fouled out. Jabari Smith Jr., 8 points in the fourth quarter, 8 points, four boards in the fourth quarter to close things out. But on the entire evening, I mean, Jalen had a fantastic game, minus, you know, some sloppy turnovers here and there, but it was because he was trying to create for his teammates for the most part. He had some unforced turnovers here and there, but 30 points, five boards, five assists, 10 of 17 shooting, 3 of 9 from long distance, 7 of 9 at the free throw line. A superstar type performance from Jalen Green, including what was, to me, the play of the game, where in the fourth quarter, Rockets are, you know, they've been fighting their way back, right? Fighting their way back. They started the fourth quarter. They were down 10 at the top of the fourth quarter, right? So, you know, at the point of the altercation, they were down. It was their biggest deficit of the game, 16 points in the third quarter, 90-74. Rockets fought their way back. And they were down 10 at the top of the fourth, but they kept that going. And then the moment that the game kind of shifted, right, where you were like, okay, they're winning this game, right? Jalen Green locked up Trae Young on the defensive end, right, forced him into a really tough contested fadeaway, and then sprints the length of the court, gets the outlet pass, and loads up a three-pointer and drains it, ties the game up at 112. A huge sequence. Steven Silas said it was one of, if not the biggest shot of the season for the Rockets so far. That was a huge sequence, right? Jalen Green being able to defend with 5 fouls. Jalen Green was in foul trouble in this game, so he D'd up Trae Young with 5 fouls, forced the miss, got down on the other end of the floor, and drained the three-pointer. And then Jabari Smith Jr. had a play later on in the fourth where KPJ... unfortunately got a little, you know, frustrated, couldn't make something happen, forced up a bad, you know, a bad three-pointer, and Jabari got the rebound and got the putback, right under the rim. The only shot Jabari hit inside the arc in this game on his way to his 21 points. Jabari had 21 points, 6 of 17 shooting. Not a pretty number when you look at the 6 of 17, but the 5 of 11 from 3 gives you a lot of confidence, right? He couldn't hit anything inside the arc except for that one putback attempt that he had. But he had the 21 points, 9 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. This is the type of game, and these are the types of performances from Jabari that we kind of thought we were going to get right out of the gate. But I asked him, I had the chance to ask Jabari post-game, I was like, what's the difference, right, in this game versus the first game against the Hawks? What's the difference? And he said it so quickly, I'm so much more comfortable right now. He was like, the game is starting to slow down for him. He's more comfortable. And he's also said he's got his legs under him now, right? It's important to remember, Jabari had that ankle injury, right? And I guess we kind of brushed it off. You know, he's 19, young, you know, he's made of rubber. And even myself, right? I hadn't considered that could have been one of the reasons why, or reasons for his slow start, right? Is maybe he wasn't 100% all the way back, right? With his legs under him, everything. He looks and has looked a lot better over this most recent stretch of games. And he even said, he was like, I got my legs under me now, right? So Jabari Smith Jr. is continuing to trend up. He's making a late push for Western Conference Rookie of the Month. Like, it's possible at this point. Keegan Murray has been struggling. Keegan Murray has been slumping. Jabari Smith Jr. could be the Western Conference Rookie of the Month if he keeps this performance up over these next final couple games that the Rockets have here in November. And again, Jalen Green just continues to look like a superstar. Yeah, the turnovers, you know, some of them were a little sloppy, you know, but I do think a majority of them come from him trying to create for his teammates. There are some moments where, you know, travel call here or there, that kind of thing. But for the most part, his game all around was so encouraging in this one. 30 points in just 33 minutes. Didn't get a chance to close out the game, unfortunately. Picked up his 6th foul against Trae Young. That was tough apples. And look, I hate I hate blaming the refs. But the refs were trash in this game, man. Like, what? Jalen Green had a phantom fourth foul call where, like, KJ Martin went up. I want to say it was John Collins. I could be wrong on that. But KJ Martin went up and, like, contested a shot. It should have been a jump ball, first and foremost. And instead, or at worst, it should have been a foul on KJ. And Jalen Green got whistled for his fourth foul on that play. Like, at some point, I want to say it was third quarter, give or take. But by and large, this was a really, really encouraging performance because the Rockets won off the backs of their foundational pieces, right? Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr. led the Rockets to the win in this one after the scuffle there in the third quarter. They responded in a big way. Jalen Green said it, right? There's dogs on this team, right? They're not going to take any disrespect from anybody. The record says one thing, yeah, but they're still going to go out there and compete. And the other takeaway from this, from anybody who maybe worried that Jalen and Jabari didn't vibe with each other, they didn't like each other, whatever. Jalen Green had Jabari's back there on the court, right? The moment Jabari started, you know, having words with DeJounte and things were getting heated, Jalen Green was over there instantaneously, right, to back him up. That's his guy, right? So I don't think there should be any worries about do they like each other, do they respect each other on the court? No, they understand they are competitors, right? And it's crazy because it's two alpha mentalities, right? Learning how to coexist with one another. But I think we're starting to see that, right? We're starting to see them be able to coexist on the court with one another. So with that coming up, do want to talk about Garrison Matthews, Gary Bird flying through the skies again. A big reason for the Rockets getting this win. KJ Martin, his impact in the starting lineup. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN helps you protect your privacy and security online, but here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Maybe you've run out of stuff to watch on Netflix, right? This will completely change your world. ExpressVPN allows you to binge watch. Hey, you could binge watch The Office, the UK edition on Netflix. It's so simple to you. Just sign into Netflix, fire up ExpressVPN app, and change the location to UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. Just imagine all the different Netflix libraries that you can go through, but it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service, Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason ExpressVPN is the one to use is so that you can watch shows because it is ridiculously fast. There's no delay, there's no buffering, none of that. So if you want to get access to hundreds of new shows, go to expressvpn.com/lockedon right now. You can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/lockedon, expressvpn.com/lockedon to learn more. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Man, I was so caught up in how enjoyable, right, this win was for the Rockets. I didn't even share your Locked On Rockets player of the game, Jalen Green. Although this was honestly one of the closest polls all season long that I've run for LOR player of the game. When I go back and look at, you know, looking at the tallies, right? 461 votes on Twitter. Jalen Green won, but with only 37.1% of the votes. Garrison Matthews came in second place with 23.6% of the votes. Jabari Smith Jr. third place at 21.7%. And then KJ Martin had 17.6% of the votes. I should have broken that up so I could actually know the numbers out of the 461. It was a little bit more clear cut on the YouTube side. So shout out to you, the YouTube viewers. Jalen Green kind of not a landslide win, but a little bit more directly, like, hey, just Jalen won this game, or Jalen was the LOR player of the game. But I almost forgot couple of the best parts here. Jalen Green waved the Hawks off the court. Like, that, there is like no love lost between this Hawks team and this Rockets team, because Jalen ended the game and he was just like, bye, bye, bye-bye. It's just waving bye to the Hawks players. And then not long after that, he goes to IG and posts like the highlight clip of him waving the Hawks goodbye, and he tags, I want to say it was either KPJ tagged Jalen or Jalen tagged KPJ, one or the other, and I forget which way it happened, but whoever actually made the post said, you know, hey twin, look at the little fella talking about Trae Young. It was absolutely hilarious. I forgot how good it feels to, like, when the Rockets win games, like, to sit here and kind of gloat a little bit. And for the Rockets being the worst team in the NBA to beat the Hawks, it's, like, extra special because you're like, hey, like, you just lost to the worst team in the NBA. So you can gloat, like, extra hard. But this kind of maybe feels like a game where the Rockets maybe turn a little bit of a corner, right? Like, they really kind of all, they coalesced, right? They came together as a group. They could have hung their head. They could have, you know, down 16, vibes didn't feel great, whatever. All of that. They didn't, right? They responded. They answered. They closed out, right? They closed out in a big way. Jalen Green, look, credit to Kevin Porter Jr., who had an off night shooting the ball, right? 5 of 16 shooting, 0 of 6 from 3. Bad, it was bad offensive night from KPJ. But he was facilitating at a decent level. 12 points, 10 assists, I felt like he did a good job through portions of the game, but especially there in the fourth, to make sure that he kept feeding the hot hand. And I don't think you can look at this game and say Kevin Porter Jr. had a good game because of the inconsistency shooting the ball offensively. But the facilitating in the fourth quarter was good, and he did a good job, even though he didn't necessarily directly result in, like, every basket being made, he kept finding the right guy. And I think that's the important thing is when KPJ turns into a ball stopper, that's when I take significant issue to him. And he had moments like that in this game where he got a little too trigger happy, where he was trying to make things happen. I mentioned the, you know, the bad three from earlier that Jabari kind of bailed him out on. But by and large, I think it was okay game from KPJ. Not a great game, not a fantastic game. Okay. We'll give him that. Garrison Matthews and KJ Martin, though, their impact in this game, absolutely absurd. We'll go KJ Martin first. Career high 15 rebounds, 21 points, 10 of 13 shooting, 1 of 1. It's funny seeing 1 of 1 from 3, because KJ's been so trigger happy lately, but he was attacking the rim like crazy in this game. Had 2 assists, had a steal, did have 5 turnovers. The turnovers were kind of sloppy in this game by the Rockets. I mean, they had 21 as a team. You need to cut down on that. A big chunk of those did come from KJ, surprisingly. 5 from KJ, 4 from KPJ, 6 from Jalen. But, you know, past that, not too many other turnovers. Dejan Nix had 3 off the bench. But Dejan Nix also had a pretty solid all-around game past that. Look, KJ Martin needs to be a starter moving forward. Like, I don't know how you see this type of game, this type of production from KJ Martin, and don't want him to be the starter. The Rockets had so many second chance points compared to the Atlanta Hawks in this game. The Rockets' second chance points, 37-2, a plus 35 in second chance opportunities. And dinged it. You know, how did that happen? Why did that happen? Look at KJ Martin. Look at his 15 rebounds, right? Career best 15 rebounds. Watching KJ Martin sky and soar for rebounds, 6'7", having a 6'7 small forward who can jump out of the gym. Watching him play in the starting lineup and get a majority of those minutes, right, rather than an undersized, you know, 6'3 veteran aging two guard who isn't going to secure those second chance points, who isn't going to crash the offensive glass, who isn't going to give you the energy, the, you know, versatility that KJ gives you out of that three spot. Look, love Eric Gordon, right? Love what he's done for the organization. It is time to move on. I don't know how you can look at KJ Martin in the starting lineup there and then go back to EG in the starting lineup. The energy was different from the jump. The Rockets were playing out of the gate. They looked a lot better out of the gate. Things kind of wavered there in the middle part of the game. And maybe some of that is because KJ wasn't coming off the bench with his infectious energy, right? You didn't have the full-blown goon squad coming off the bench. But his impact in the starting lineup, he just fits, right? He just meshes his athleticism, his ability to run, the speed that he plays with, all of it works so well with the other starters. And in tandem with Bruno Fernando, we'll talk about Bruno a little bit in the third segment because I do want to share some thoughts on his return to the Rockets lineup. No Alperen Şengün in this game, no Eric Gordon in this game. I thought Bruno had a decent return to action, but it's time, right? KJ Martin, he produces when you make him a starter. He plays well with the other starters. He gives you so much more than what Eric Gordon gives you on the floor. And it's time to make the switch. I need to see the Rockets do it. Have the hard conversation. Make Eric Gordon an assistant coach like John Wall. Whatever you got to do, right? Trade him. It needs to happen. It's overdue for it to happen, honestly. Like, KJ probably should have been in the starting lineup a long time ago, given his production when he gets, you know, 25, 30-plus minutes on a nightly basis. But you know, it needs to happen now. Basically, that's more or less where I'm at. And then Garrison Matthews, the return of Gary Bird. It was great. It was great to see Garrison Matthews, like, get his number called, get in the game, and make an impact, right? He had 20 points off the Rockets bench, was 9 of 9 at the free throw line. Garrison Matthews has no business shooting more than like 3 free throws a game, and somehow the Hawks gave him 9 trips to the free throw line, which is just hilarious. 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals. Garrison Matthews had like an offensive rebound that like saved a possession for the Rockets. He had some good defensive boards. He had one of the best assists of the game where he was loading up at the 3-point line and the Hawks defense was just completely scattered. Like, they didn't know what was going on. Two guys go to close out at Gary Bird, and Gary Bird just loads up like he's about to shoot and then rifles a pass right to KJ Martin under the rim, and he gets an easy dunk. It was a beautiful pass. Really, really strong game from Garrison Matthews. He basically played like, Silas said at one point, he basically played like 15 minutes straight because he just couldn't take him out of the game. He needed him in there, right, to close things out. And then obviously you're dealing with foul trouble with certain guys. Jalen was in foul trouble. You know, Josh Christopher struggled in this game. We'll talk about that in the third segment. But Gary Bird answered the call, right? Pros pro through and through. Showed up in a big way, made his impact felt. And this is why I feel like you keep Gary Bird around, right? A player like Gary Bird, because he can single-handedly win you a game, right? Like, he was one of the catalysts and one of the reasons for why the Rockets won this game, especially there in the second half. The energy that he provided, the scoring punch that he gave the Rockets. He was actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think he might have been the Rockets' leading scorer in the fourth quarter. If I have this right, I want to double check and make sure. Yeah, fourth quarter scoring, Garrison Matthews, 11 points. Led the Rockets in scoring in the fourth quarter. That's kind of crazy. But yeah, Gary Bird's impact in this game, you know, he gives you that kind of energy right off the bench. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And in the games where it doesn't, right, he gets up a couple threes, nothing's falling for him, you know, it's not looking great. Cool. All right, pull him after 5 minutes. That's, you know, no harm, no foul, right? He's a great, like, 9th, 10th, 11th guy to have on your team to maybe throw into the game and change the complexion, right? Because he's a microwave scorer. He could get hot on any given night and carry your team to a dub. And then the other thing, too, is that defensively, I thought he kind of held his own a little bit in this game. The Hawks, look, the Hawks' backcourt was cooking everybody in this game, but one of the things that the Rockets did better this game than they did in the season opener is they stayed home on the other guys, right? In the season opener, DeJounte and Trey both went off in that game, but they also had like double-digit assists, both of them, because they were carving up the Rockets' defense and getting open looks for their teammates. In this game, the Rockets did a much, much better job of staying at home on all the other guys on the floor, minus a couple times where they lost AJ Griffin, where Josh Christopher lost AJ Griffin a couple times. But basically, they did a matter. They basically made just Trey Young and DeJounte beat them, right? And it wasn't enough, right? Trey with 44, DeJounte with 39, but Trey only had 5 assists, DeJounte only had 3 assists, right? As opposed to the double-digit assists that they recorded in the season opener where they got off everybody else going, everybody else was cooking. And it's really hard to beat an entire team when everybody's, you know, in it, when everybody's feeling good, you know, ball movement, all of that. Hawks struggled to move the basketball in this game. They only had 14 assists as a team. So defensively, I thought the Rockets did kind of a good job of shutting down the other guys and just kind of letting Trey and DeJounte cook. And it worked out for them. They took the dub. Coming up, do want to throw in, you know, final kind of thoughts from this game, tip-ins, that sort of thing. Talk about Josh Christopher, his struggles, we'll just call it that. Talk about Bruno and his return to the Rockets lineup in the absence of Alperen Şengün, what the 5 spot kind of looked like for the Houston Rockets. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Sweatblock. Look, nobody likes sweat, right? Sweat's gross. You hate it, right? And it's always the worst when you, like, you get, you know, dressed up, you're feeling good, you're confident, right? You walk out the door and you're hanging out outside, especially here in Houston, right? It gets so muggy, humid. You walk outside, you're outside for 5 minutes, not even, and you start to sweat, right? And it can be embarrassing. It can, you know, again, drain your confidence, all of that. maybe you're going out with friends and you're a little self-conscious about it because you don't want to look, you know, like you're sweating through your shirt, whatever, you're going out on a date. Maybe it's awful. You don't want to deal with that, right? Sweat block can help you or someone you know if you're dealing with excessive sweat or odor. Sweat block wipes were invented by a doctor and they're guaranteed to work or you don't pay. They call it sweat block dry shirt guarantee. If sweat block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back, no questions asked. Look, sweat block gives you the confidence to wear what you want without embarrassing sweat or odor. Sweat block wipes were featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by actual firefighters, right? If it's working for firefighters, it's going to work for you. If you or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try SweatBlock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at SweatBlock.com. Also available on Amazon. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Final thoughts from this Rockets-Hawks game. Defensively, I think defensively the Rockets did a good job there in the fourth quarter, right? The Hawks were just running out of gas, running out of steam, held them to only 18 points in the fourth and final quarter, right? That, you know, in addition to the 34 that they scored offensively, right? It was the defensive tone and adjustment there in the fourth, really dialing in defensively. And I think a part of that had to do with Garuba actually picking up his fifth foul and the Rockets having to run Jabari at the five for a little while. That gave them some defensive versatility. I do think Garuba did a good job in this game. Like the fives in this game, Garuba, even though he did have five fouls and had to sit for a little bit, I mean, Garuba had a really strong night. 9 points, five boards, three assists, a steal, two blocks, continues to produce at a really, really high level in the, you know, 20 or so minutes that he gets off the Rockets bench. I thought that he might be the guy that they go to as the starter in the absence of Alperen Şengün this game, but Garuba just does what he does, right? Comes in, does the work, did a really good job on switches, I felt like switching out to DeJounte Murray, to Trey Young. I mean, both of those guys still scored at a really high level, but Trey took 28 shots to get his 44 points, right? That's a lot. DeJounte took 24 shots to get to his 39. Like, you know, they had to really work for what they got in this game. And there were moments where, like, Garuba had a play where he, like, locked up Trey Young, forced him into a really tough contested fadeaway. And then there was a possession, like, a couple plays later where Trey Young got switched onto Garuba again and then drove past him because he was like, okay, well, I can't get the fadeaway over Garuba. Drove past him. It looked like he got Garuba's ankles, and Garuba recovered like instantly and was able to get back and contest the shot at the rim. And Trey basically had to like Hail Mary throw a layup up with like no touch whatsoever, bricked it. So Garuba did a good job on switches guarding those guys and continues to showcase his defensive versatility. He also had like a touchdown pass to KJ Martin at one point in this game where he got the defensive rebound, took a few dribbles up the court, and then he was like at like the Rockets like free throw line or like 3-point line and saw KJ like on the opposite end and just like full court passed it down the floor and just on the money. Like KJ was running like a route in football. Just a great find by Garuba. His passing continues to be a really, really useful tool for this Houston Rockets team. And then the actual other side of the five spot for the Rockets in this game, Bruno Fernando, who made his return to the Rockets lineup, his much-anticipated return, or much to the chagrin of Rockets fans. Look, there was no LP in this game, so we can't be for certain what the lineup is actually going to look like when LP is healthy and available, whether or not Bruno will start or LP will start. Bruno played 17 minutes. He had 7 points, 3 of 5 shooting, had 3 boards, had a block. You know, overall quiet night. He was probably on like an internal minutes restriction type thing, probably about 20 minutes or so. There were moments where Steven could have gone back to him and didn't, and elected to go with, again, like Jabari at the five, things like that. Garuba still absorbing a majority of the minutes at the five spot. I guess those two, you know, 17, 19 minutes, and then Jabari basically played the rest of the minutes at the five. But I thought Bruno did a decent job early in the game. You know, his energy, you could feel it there in the first quarter. And I commented on this about halfway through the game, and there were a lot of Şengün fans who took this the wrong way. And I did, you know, I should have contextualized it a little bit more, but that's what the show is for me to, you know, be a little bit more long form than Twitter. I said at one point that the Rockets look a lot more comfortable on both ends with Bruno Fernando and Usman Garuba at the five spot. And there were some Shingun fans who took this as a slight to Shingun. And that wasn't necessarily how I intended it. Comfortable does not necessarily mean better. Comfortable means the players on the other four guys on the court look more comfortable with those guys at the five spot because Shingun is such a unique force, right? And this has been something that I've harped on all season long, is the Rockets, it doesn't feel like they know how to maximize Shingun's abilities when he's on the floor, right? Offensively, when you're not utilizing Shingun and the strength of putting the ball in his hands and playing through him, you're not maximizing his capabilities on the basketball floor, right? And for the other four dudes on the court, they don't have to worry about that with Garuba or Fernando because they aren't guys who require the basketball in their hands to be the most impactful that they can be offensively, right? Both of those guys just set hard screens, they roll, and they, you know, Fernando finishes at the rim or over the top of the defense, and Garuba is a great passer, like out of the short roll, but neither of those guys demand touches offensively to be effective. Alpi kind of does, right? And then defensively, both of those guys, Fernando and Garuba, are better defenders than Alpi. Fernando, it's pretty close. I mean, Fernando's not a great defender, but Garuba's a fantastic defender. He's versatile defensively, and both of those guys play with a little bit more, I don't know, they have a little bit more speed, athleticism to their game than Alpi does. And Alpi is a bit more limited defensively, but that's also just the Rockets' perimeter defense is just bad. Like, and that ties me into my point about Josh Christopher. I mean, Josh Christopher, in the minutes that he was in the game, he played 5 minutes and was a minus 10 in his 5 minutes. Josh Christopher gave up some of the most open threes because he just wasn't, like, fighting over screens, wasn't in the right spots defensively. And the Rockets just kind of, as a team, right, as a collective, their defensive intensity, especially where it starts, right, on the perimeter, at the point of attack, is just bad. And it puts all that pressure on the backline defense, on Shingun, Fernando, Garuba. It puts all that pressure on them to clean up the mistakes of the perimeter guys. So the defensive struggles for the Rockets aren't isolated to just Alperen Shingun or just Bruno Fernando or just Usman Garuba, right? It's not fair to expect the bigs, the fives, to have to clean up everything from the perimeter. But at the same time, of the fives, the guys who are best and most equipped and most adept at cleaning up the mistakes of the guys on the perimeter are very clearly Usman Garuba, Bruno Fernando maybe a little bit ahead of Alpi, and then Alpi at the back of the pack. So it's unfortunate because if the Rockets had a better defensive team, if they had guys 1 through 4 who were better overall defenders, then Alpi's defensive deficiencies wouldn't be quite as apparent, especially in pick and roll coverages, all that kind of thing. But that's also something that you have to really commit to and build towards, right? That's something that the Denver Nuggets have had to do with Nikola Jokic, right? Is they've had to surround him and put better defenders around him and really adjust their defensive scheme to accommodate Jokic. And the Rockets haven't really done that. And I don't know if in the organization's viewpoint, right, if Alpi is the type of player that you are going to bend the fabric of your organization to accommodate, right? That's the big question. Is Alpi, you have to accommodate him, right? You have to accommodate him offensively. You have to accommodate him defensively. That's why I said the Rockets look more comfortable with Fernando and Garuba at the five spot. It doesn't necessarily mean better, because we've seen just how amazing the Rockets' offense can look with Alpi running the show and with the offense running through him and other guys feeding off of him. And we've also seen the peaks of how he can look defensively when the entire team is locked in defensively. But they just look more comfortable with those other two guys at the five spot. That was my point, and that's what I wanted to kind of hammer home there. But with Josh Christopher, I don't think he needs to touch. He needs to figure out what's going on because he just looks really lost out there at times. And it's really unfortunate because I had such high hopes for Josh, and I still do. I still think he's so capable. He's such a good basketball player. He's got all the talent in the world. He's got a ton of gifts. He's got the physicals to be a really, really strong defensive presence. And he goes out there and sometimes he just looks lost, you know, within the flow of the game. And then meanwhile, you got Ty Washington tearing it up at the G League. And it's like Ty's feel for the game is just through the roof. He's got a great control, great understanding of where to be, how to move, what to do, both sides of the floor. And it's just kind of like there's a stark comparison between Josh and Ty in how they look when they're on the floor. Now, granted, it's at the G League, and, you know, previously it was summer league for Ty. But at this point, I'd argue that, you know, bring Ty back up, let him get, you know, but he's doing good with the G League. You want to let him continue to get those significant reps with the G League, but Josh Christopher maybe Josh Christopher could benefit from some reps with the G League, right? Because it's not looking great when he does get injected into the Rockets lineup, unfortunately. Elsewhere for this Rockets team, Tari Eason off the Rockets bench gave them some energy, gave them some rebounding, needs to work on making the layups, man. You get around the rim and it's just Tari Eason is shooting like 10 percentage points below league average at the rim. He's shooting like, it's like league average at the rim is like 57 something percent. Tari Eason's shooting like 46% at the rim right now. Gotta clean it up around the rim. And it's just, it's like he's going like 110 miles an hour all the time. And if he just slowed it down to like 95, right, he'd still be moving faster and have a better motor than 99% of other players on the floor. But just slow it down just enough to where he can really focus on finishing at the rim, finishing those opportunities. Because he could have had double-digit points off the bench if he had just converted on some of the looks that he was getting at the rim. And then Dacian Nix, 16 minutes, I should say, off the bench. Only had a couple points, missed all his shots, went 2-for-4 at the free throw line. So not a great offensive night from Dacian Nix, but did a little bit of some other things elsewhere on the floor, right? Got a few rebounds, got a couple assists, got a couple steals, had a few turnovers. There's some moments where, like, just you're shaking your head. It was like, I said at one point during the game, it was like a roller coaster with Dacian Nix because he had a turnover in transition where he was getting ahead of himself and he, you know, lost the ball like at the Rockets, like 3-point line, trying to get out in transition on the break, lost the ball. Then the next possession comes down. He hits KJ Martin on the roll to the rim and KJ gets an easy 2 at the cup. And you're like, oh, great pass by Dacian. Then the next possession down, he dribbles straight into a 3-pointer and misses it. Then the next possession down, KJ Martin backdoor cuts to the rim from the 3-point line. Defense doesn't recognize it. And Dacian just whips a pass to KJ and it's beautiful, right? Goes up for the dunk. Easy 2. So, like, it's like a roller coaster with Dacian Nix where he has, like, some really good plays. And you're like, man, he looks good. Great backup point guard material. And then there's other plays where you're like, what are we doing? What's happening? So, it's like if you've ever seen, like, the Bitcoin roller coaster, right? Like, on, like, the Wall Street Bets, like, subreddit. Where it's like, it'll be like, woo, going straight up. And then, woo, going straight down. So, that's basically the Dacian Nix experience, at least over these last handful of games or so. Where he'll have some really solid plays and some really questionable mistakes within the flow of a given game. But overall, I think best game of the season for the Houston Rockets. A much-needed win for this Houston Rockets team, getting it off the backs of some really great performances from Jalen Green, Jabari Smith Jr., Garrison Matthews off the bench, KJ Martin being in that starting lineup. Will we see some, like, I don't know, some domino effects from this game, right? Will Steven Silas actually make a tough decision and do something with Eric Gordon, right? Bring him off the bench or ice him completely. It was curious. EG was at Toyota Center before this game and then left, which I thought was interesting because normally player unavailable, whatever, they're still there. They still hang out. They still watch the game from the bench, right? Street clothes, that kind of thing. Eric Gordon just dipped. Like, he was there before the game and then he was out. I don't know if, you know, maybe he wasn't sure if he was playing tonight or what, but he showed up and then he was gone. So that could be something to monitor here. I don't know if it means that there's like a trade on the horizon for EG or whatever, but maybe he just wasn't feeling well, right? Maybe he was just like, all right, I'll just go home and watch it from my crib, whatever. But great win by the Houston Rockets, a much needed win. And we'll see if they can build on this and build on this momentum and take a game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, because first night of a back-to-back, and now they've got to go up against the Thunder Saturday night in Houston. Should be a good game. We'll have you covered for all that, of course. But as always, appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google. Brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked on Rockets. Was this the best game of the season for the Houston Rockets? Let me know in the YouTube comments if you agree, because I think it was the best game of the season. Let me know why it was the best game of the season. Was it Jabari and his continued trending upward performance? Was it great to see him breaking out of his, you know, shooting slump and drilling 5 3-pointers? Was it KJ Martin's impact? Was it Jalen Green with his 35-5 night? Was it Gary Bird off the bench soaring through the skies once again? Let me know in the YouTube comments. I do read each and every one of those every single day. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.